You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Stephanie Benedetto. Today, she calls Portugal home. And that's what we talk about in our conversation, is how she got from where she was in the United States to Portugal. It is a very popular conversation on the show. And what I think you're really going to enjoy about this conversation is that what got Stephanie to Portugal is not what has motivated anybody else who's come on the show to talk about this so far. I love that it's different. I never know if they're going to be different, but so far it has proven. It's just there's no, each of these conversations, even though they can be on very similar topics, they can be very, very different because each person is unique. But so while what got Stephanie to Portugal is not what has been featured before, what I am going to add is that I think, in my opinion, in my experience, it's a pretty common reason that anybody ends up anywhere. You gotta listen to find out or watch, gotta listen or watch to find out what it is. Are you ready? Of course you are. Let's do this. Welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting, Stephanie Benedetto. Are you ready for a fun chat today?
I am absolutely ready, Amy. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm happy to have you here. So I modified my warm-up questions for you. Usually I ask people about where they live, but we're going to talk about where you live as the main topic. So different questions, warm up. When you were a kid, what was your favorite type of birthday cake or treat that you wanted on your birthday?
Oh, it must have been Carvel ice cream cake. That's what I wanted with the little crunchies in it. That was my favorite.
Love that. Love that. All right. Apparently, I have sweets on my mind when I was writing these questions because the next question is also a U.S.-centered sweet treat. For Halloween and trick-or-treating, what was your favorite Halloween candy?
I used to have a real fondness for Mounds chocolate bars. So those are the coconut ones, not Almond Joy. I was really against the almonds. So I was a Mounds girl.
That I think that still puts you in a small audience because those two confectionaries have very strong opinions, you know, because of the coconut, because of the treat.
All love right. Coconut.
There you go. All right. So very good. So what we're actually going to talk about today is not candy, but you decided to move to Portugal in 2022. So are you ready to talk about that?
I would love to. Yes, please.
Very, very cool. Okay. So tell us where you were before you made the move. Like what was your, where were you? And then when was it? You moved in 2022, but when did you start to think about it?
Okay, I'm laughing because there was not a lot of thinking about it before I kind of knew I was doing it. It was sort of doing it, and then I had a lot of thinking afterward. So I was living in Florida in 2022. I was quite happy in the Tampa Bay area, living with my partner at the time, quite content in a house that we rented together. And we had a little cat called Alani. And was there a second part to the question? Like, when did I start thinking about it? Do you want to hear the story of how it happened?
Yeah, well we're going to go through it. But yeah, I think you answered it because you said there wasn't a huge amount of pre-planning. All right. So that's it. All right. So then the next thing is, what were the drivers or motivations for you in wanting to make this move?
So I had no intention of moving to Europe. It was not at all on my radar to move to Portugal. And what happened was a byproduct of an insight that I had that really changed my life inside. So what happened was I was contemplating some things in my life that I wanted to be different. Some things in my external world. And I kind of had seen enough at that point to know that if I want something different in the outside, the place to really look is in me and how I'm showing up. This actually happened to be around my partner at the time. And I knew that like trying to get somebody else to change is a losing battle. You can't. Yes. So I started looking inside of myself as a result of a book that I read. I can give you the title of the book if you want.
Sure, I love it.
Okay, so it's called Sane: Getting Real with Reality by a
Okay.
woman called Claire Diamond. And it's, I guess you would call it like a spiritual type of self-improvement-y type book.
Okay.
And in this, she said that if you don't have the external things in your life that you're looking for, it's because you think it's separate from you. Because the new relationship, the job, the money, the house are revealed and not obtained. And I went, can I swear on this podcast,
You
Amy?
can, you can.
Okay. And I went like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, how could this be like, there's not money living in me. There's not a new partner living in me. There's not a job living in me. What is that? But there's something about it that felt true. And so I started looking inside. I was like, all right, what if I have what I'm looking for? What if I am what I'm looking for? And in the process of that exploration over a couple weeks, I saw something that I don't really have words for. It's kind of one of those insights that you have that something's different and I don't know what it was. But the feeling of it was, oh shit, I've been looking for the world to give me what I'm looking for. Like I've been waiting for something outside of me. And if I want it, it's in me. It's up to me. Like it's sort of like the locus of control changed. Like something came alive inside of me. And with that, very suddenly, I had this awareness. And now at the time, Portugal was on my radar in one sense. I was doing a project with a group of people online, and we were planning an event in person in Portugal of in September of 2022. And so that was in my mind. And I was thinking, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't. So when this shift happened in me, very clearly I knew, go to Portugal, go to this event. There's a guy who I had just met who was living in Portugal. I was like, go to that guy, like this guy. He's for you. And somebody's going to, you're going to get invited to live there and you're going to say yes. And I was like, whoa, 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 life. No, this is where all the thinking came in, right? Like, I'm like, no. You can't mean that. I didn't ask for that. But that's kind of how, and then my whole life was turning upside down over the next 2 months, and lots of thinking and lots of surrender and lots of giving up expectations and all of that. So
So
yeah, that's
2 months.
how it happened.
All right. All right. Very good. Okay. So we're gonna talk a little bit about and some of this will be a little bit of repeat of things that you just did, but to clarify, I want to talk more about the age of your and season of life that you were in as you were doing this. You were renting a house and you were with one partner, but it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, that there was an end to this relationship that pet matched up with this move of yours to Portugal. You mentioned that you had a pet.
Yes.
I'm curious about, so you didn't own a house. I'm curious about the job, the finances, where the
Yeah.
pets went, all of those things. So tell us a little bit more just about the season of life that you were in that when you were able to, before you did a transcontinental move.
Yeah. And if I had thought of it as a transcontinental move, I probably wouldn't have done it.
Fair enough.
Honestly, because that sounds so intimidating. And I did have a lot of thinking about it, but I didn't have the thinking that most people have. So anyway, where was I?
Well, to pause on that, I've had a conversation with somebody who handles this as a business for people who want to do that. And she actually gives that as a starting point. She's like, it's very hard to plan this if you look at it as a where am I moving forever situation. She's like, you just need to go and get there and then see what happens.
Yes.
So, yeah. So you were setting it up as if you had done something wrong, but I will offer it as it can be the recommended strategy.
Well, it was certainly how I showed up in it.
Yeah.
And I generally show up in life that way more often than not. And it works for me. So, yes.
All right, so you were in a relationship.
Yes. I was in a relationship, which was a committed relationship. We'd been together for 2 years, long enough to have a cat. Now, the cat was really more his than mine, honestly. She fell in love with him, so it didn't feel like that it wouldn't have felt right to take her with me, honestly, because they were so attached. And she was in very good hands. We were in an open relationship that wasn't being acted on as open.
Okay.
So that was a part of what I had to negotiate because, I mean, it was very weird, Amy. I couldn't know the things that I knew, right? What I don't read the future. I did not know this was going to happen. I was clearly getting direction. And what I know about direction that comes from this inner knowing is that it's reliable, but it doesn't always mean what Stephanie thinks it means. So it just means go that way. This is the direction of travel right now. It could change at any time. So I knew that that was the direction, and I kind of knew to prepare for it. So I had to talk to my partner about it and say, like, hey, I'm planning, because I didn't know what was going to happen when I got to Portugal, but my sense was that this was what was coming. So I didn't tell him that because it sounded nuts to say, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get invited to live in Portugal and I don't know by who and I don't know when and nobody's asked me and it doesn't look like it right now. But so I said to him, there's this guy that I'm attracted to and I'm going to be meeting him in Portugal. I don't want to do anything without your consent. Is that okay? And he was like, oh, sure, no problem. Now, he didn't know what I knew, and I didn't even fully know it, but at least it was clean. So I had
Okay.
to resolve that, you know, before I was going to Portugal.
And did you have a job that you were like, did you have a job that moved with you, or did you have a job that you left? What were you, what was your work
So
situation?
I've been self-employed for most of my life, and I've been working remotely for 10, 12 years, I think at
Okay.
least 12 years now. So that was my situation, could go with me. Although I was planning to be in Europe for a month and I was taking that time off. So I would not be working. I'd saved up money during that time. I was going to go and do some traveling around this project I was involved with. And this guy who I'd met, who was not a love interest, by the way, he was not interested in me before I went to Portugal. And in fact, told me he wasn't. Because I let him know I was available, and he was like, oh, I'm sorry, nope, not interested. Which
Okay.
was actually a relief, a great relief, because I thought, I've just been overthinking this. Maybe he's just a business partner, a creative partner. Okay, I'm just going to Portugal, just doing what I know to do.
Very nice. Okay, so you have a job, but you actually, when you go to Portugal for the first time on this trip, you really are going as a tourist. Yeah, really going as a tourist. Okay, so you talked to your partner, the person you were dating, and you told that I that you there this was happening. Did you come back from Portugal like at the end of that 1 month trip and then make a commitment, or did you never come home?
I did come back. I would have had to because I my at some point I would have had to because you have a 90-day visa to visit
Okay.
an EU country. So what happened was I showed up at the airport and my now partner, who wasn't my partner at the time, picked me up at the airport. We were planning to travel together. And within 3 days, it was really clear this was a relationship. It was very fast, actually. He will tell you that Zoom Stephanie was not the same as real life Stephanie, and he felt things for me that he hadn't felt over Zoom. And I extended my trip a week. I was planning on being there for 4 weeks and was there 5 while I was there to make it more interesting. So not only was I like in the throes of this new love affair, traveling all over the place, I was actually in Portugal and Switzerland and France, back to Portugal. We got COVID while we were at the event that we were supposed to be helping to run, both of us, and gave it to some of our friends. So I was sick in a tent in the middle of the hot Portuguese summer.
You know,
It was horrible.
it's on brand for 2022, to tell you the truth. 2021
Oh
and
my God.
2022, I too had COVID with my family on a trip. And later I went to when events opened back up, I went to an event that, you know, everybody got COVID either there or when we got home. So that's definitely a season of you know, the whole season of super spreaders and all of
It
that.
wasn't as bad as it was in the beginning, but we had fevers for a couple of days and he was delirious. So by the end of the time, he wanted me to stay till the end of my visa, and I had commitments. So I didn't have a job, but I do traveling and pet sitting, and I had committed to a pet sit, and I was like, I have to go back to do this. Plus, there are certain things that if you want to immigrate to a country, you have to go back and take care of paperwork and stuff like that. So he gave me, but the end, I'm actually getting a little ahead of myself. He said, here's my immigration lawyer. I want you to come live with me. And I said, yes. So it did happen the way I suspected. But then I had to go back and resolve all the things, which
All
was more,
right.
yeah.
So then you come back stateside and you have to dismantle, get your paperwork and gear or organized, arranged, and move. So what did when you come back to the States and you have made this emotional decision before you leave Portugal that you're coming back to go back. You're coming back to make the decision to go back and live with this person. What did your other than your partner, who we could now call him your former roommate, what did your friends and family think about this announcement from you that you were going to go and live with someone else in Europe?
I don't think they didn't see it coming, but they weren't that surprised because the way they saw me was someone who really just lived from her heart and what she knows to do, so it wasn't out of character.
Okay. Let's talk a little
I
bit about
think
what other family you have that is here in the States, in Florida or wherever. Do you have parents and siblings?
yes. I
Okay.
have both my parents and I have siblings also. Yes.
Yeah, so because it's that becomes that those are your tethers to the United States, right? So that's something we don't think about when we live close to people, but it's always something to think about. If we're moving, even if we're just moving across town, right? All right, so let's talk about the logistics, because this is not to question you about what you did, but it is something that people are very curious about when they are hearing stories of what other people do when they are up late at night, scrolling, how do I move to wherever I want to go? All right, so you have a rental, you're in a rental with your former roommate, former partner. What do you do with your stuff? Do you have a gym membership you have to cancel? What happens?
So I didn't have a gym membership. I didn't really have anything that kind of logistics that I need to work really about. We did have a lease together, and we had three, maybe like 3 more months,
Okay.
and I couldn't just walk away. At least I didn't feel like I could, and just go, well, I'm not going to live here anymore. I'm not going to pay the rent. I didn't want to leave him like that. So we had kind of a fortuitous circumstance happen that the man who owned the house we were renting decided he wanted to sell it and made us an offer to end the lease early. So I was able to only have to pay, I think, 1 more month before I moved out. And then we actually got our security deposit back earlier too, which also helped with some of the expenses. Because that was something I did not think, because I didn't think about this, Amy, it's clear. I didn't think about this.
Okay.
I didn't think about the money that it was going to take, the not like the logistics of traveling back and forth, because I was back and forth between here and Portugal quite a bit. So there was travel expenses. And then there was the downtime, because I work for myself, but there's kind of that on-ramp and off-ramp time when you're traveling and jet lag and all of that stuff. And the mental bandwidth of like I was just dealing with a lot. So I didn't really think about how that was going to impact my ability to work, the time and the mental space that I had for it. It definitely took a toll.
And so travel expenses, the economics of moving, and the hit to your ability to do the work that you usually get paid for, that was definitely. How long did it take you? How long did it take you before you would say that you're, so how long would you say it would take you before you then went back to move?
So I started right when I got back to the US, which was in October of 2022.
Okay.
I had a pet sit that was a month long that I committed to in Durango, Colorado. So I had to do that. And while I was doing that, I couldn't do the things I needed to do to start my visa application process. It actually required that I show up in person in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So here's travel expense, right? I have to fly to Washington, D.C. and back for an appointment. I ran into various bureaucratic snags with the system. I couldn't get stuff submitted. The portals weren't working. The websites weren't working. I couldn't get help with the call. It was like pulling out my hair, right? It was kind of crazy. Meanwhile, I couldn't do anything for a month. So when I was ready to do it, I was really ready, but it wasn't working. So it was very frustrating to try to get all this stuff arranged because I needed an appointment I couldn't get. I needed flights. I needed to know my appointment date before I could get the flights. Meanwhile, I have this romantic interest and we're doing something long distance now. I'm also tying off things with my roommate, you could call him now.
Yep.
And he wasn't really getting it. Like I had to be so he it was really very hard actually, because he was so sweet and I loved him and I still do. I had to really say, like, no, this is over. I am leaving you to go to Portugal and be in a relationship with someone else. Because it was just so easy for him to be with me
Yeah.
that it almost wasn't like we'd really split. So those were
That's
some of
hard.
the challenges. Yeah.
That's very hard. Okay, so then how long does it take you? What's the time frame between October when you come back and when you get back to Portugal
Yeah.
pretty much full time?
Well, I tried to get an appointment and was having trouble getting the proper approval. So what happens when you have a visa application is you get an appointment for your initial immigration meeting and you get a temporary visa that allows you to live in the country until then.
Right.
And I wasn't getting the approvals that I needed, and time was going and time I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And I wanted to go to Portugal and start my life there because I was no longer living in a place. I didn't have a place to live. I was going like pet sitting and traveling. So what happened was my new partner came to, he's actually an EU citizen. He came to the US and traveled with me for 3 months, and then his visa application was up and he had to go, his
Okay.
time frame was up. He had to go back. And I couldn't go with him, because I was waiting on these particular details so that I'd have my temporary visa. And I didn't know what to do. And I had been advised, don't try to go back to the country because they're going to think that you're sneaking in without your visa appointment. And finally, I talked to a lawyer and they said, look, you can go there on your tourist visa for 90 days. So do that. And then you can fly back if you need to. So that's what I ended up doing,
Okay.
going on my tourist visa, hoping that I would get my appointment. And I had to come back. So it was like back and forth and back and forth to try to get all this stuff going.
Very cool. Very
And
cool.
it
Yeah.
wasn't until August, so it
Okay.
was
Almost a year.
not, almost a year, that I actually had my visa appointment.
Very interesting. Okay. So that is one of the things that people are very curious about when we hear these stories, because if you've never when you're traveling with a US passport as a tourist, until recently, you may not have even ever thought of visas unless you were going to, a small number of places, because we had privileges to travel really through all of the European countries without much thought, right? And each country has its own rules. This is a specific question which is designed for the people in the audience, because Portugal is a top destination for people who are trying to go expat. So for people who are scrolling and stuff like that, you were doing this with the aid of your partner who is an EU citizen and a lawyer that was helping you. And what type of visa were you? You went initially on temporary status, which is fine, but what type of residency were you applying for?
I was applying for a remote worker visa, which
Okay.
is a 2-year visa.
Okay. All right. Very cool. So, because there's a bunch of different ones, and I am definitely not the expert, but there's a bunch of different ones, and they change all the time.
Yes.
Notably, as we're recording this in February, a bunch of people who are in the process of trying to become Italian citizens are having a very rough time because the rules have just changed there. And so are there. Okay. So, remote worker visa. You don't have to answer this. You don't want to. Are you pursuing the Portuguese citizenship and studying Portuguese and all of those things?
I am studying Portuguese because I live here. I've been over here for over 2 years. I'm not yet eligible for citizenship. I would
Okay.
have to be here for another, well, we're not sure
It
because
might be changing, yeah.
policy is changing,
Yeah.
5, maybe 10 years
Right,
total,
that's
I
the bump I
think.
read, yeah. It
And
was.
I'm not sure if my current years apply, so
Right.
it's very up in the air.
Yeah. So if Portugal has been one of the reasons it's been so favorable is that it had the 5-year plan, and so they are considering raising it, even if you go as a retiree, because it's one of those places that you can do that. All right. So you went with a connection in this relationship, and so what would you say was the biggest challenge for the first like 6 months of being there? You went initially, it doesn't matter what the visa status was, but what was the biggest challenge in the first 6 months of being there?
I think it didn't all hit at once. It was kind of like little things that were challenging. Probably the biggest was actually this new relationship I was in,
Sure.
honestly. We didn't really know each other very well. So,
I mean, am I allowed to laugh without being disrespectful? Because
yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
this is a couple of years ago, so, but it was very fast.
Yes. And that's also not uncharacteristic for me, so no one would be surprised. I kind of skip dating people and just go live with them, basically.
You know it
This has
about
happened
yourself, so.
multiple times, right? Like, and hey, this is my experience, right? And this my partner and I are very different. He's originally from Germany, very different culture in Europe. So it was like right in my face, like how different than we live in different worlds. And there was also, we're very different in relationship. The partners I'd had in the past were all kind of, they didn't really express forcefully when they were upset with things. And my partner does. If he's not happy, he lets me know. And so I didn't know how to navigate that. It was cultural differences, it was personality differences. It was like, and it was in the midst of living in a country where this is the first time I've had an experience where I am a foreigner. Now I'll tell you, Portugal is wonderful. And especially I live in the Algarve, that's the south of Portugal. People are very welcoming. And unlike the people in Florida who live there in a tourist area of Florida who are like, God damn snowbirds, I hate those people, tourists, get them out of here, right?
Yeah.
They're not like that here. They actually really are welcoming. Even though some of that climate has changed in the country, I'm not really seeing it. Everyone I meet is very friendly, very kind. Most of them speak English. They're very cool about the fact that they like to help people feel comfortable. So it's a very welcoming country. And also, there are little things that I didn't understand that made me feel like an idiot. Like going to, they're really fond of tickets for things. Like, you know how you take tickets at the deli counter? You take tickets at the post office, you take tickets at the grocery store, you take tickets all over the place. And I was like, huh, the bank. And I just didn't know. So I'd get into line. And then people would very like kindly but firmly redirect me to the right thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm just a bumbling idiot. I'm an American idiot. The stereotypes about Americans, which are not entirely wrong, they think that we are entitled and loud,
Loud. We
very
are.
loud. And I'm not loud for an American, but I feel loud still,
Yeah, no,
and
it's impossible for people to see that about ourselves, how we're perceived from here. It's how other
Yes.
people see us. So yeah.
And we're fake. They think that we're fake because we're very friendly. And in Portugal, people are more reserved. So it took me a little while to say, oh, it's not that they don't like me. They need to warm up to me. Because they actually are really friendly people, but just not like, hi, how are you? And
Right.
they don't ask about the details of your, they don't share or ask about the details of your life like we might in America, and we just do that. So there were lots of things like that that were kind of, it's not that it was really hard, but sometimes it was. There were moments, there
Sure.
were moments.
No, I definitely understand that. Yeah, no, there's a difference. And yeah, I very famously, as a student abroad, was brought to tears in a French post office. So I'm sensitive to
Oh, I,
the
yeah.
situation. And so, all right. So, have you had some community built in with your new partner? But have you found a new supportive friend network and community in your new home in Portugal?
Yes. It was like a miracle, Amy, because I didn't actually set out for it to happen. But so this is kind of a tangent, but it's also related to what we're talking about. While I was immigrating to Portugal, I was falling in love with pole dancing.
Okay.
And I know this is so weird, but it's actually a part of it because it was such an inner journey for me that I had this impossible, call it my impossible project, to do a pole dance performance in heels. It's so
Okay.
funny. It was part of a course I was involved in called Creating the Impossible, and to do it in 90 days. Now, I chose to do this while I was immigrating. So I was traveling and going to dance lessons and I'd never danced. I have no dance experience at all. This was truly a dumb thing to try to do, especially when I'm immigrating to Portugal. But I'm taking dance classes all over the place, including I found a studio in Portugal and I met some amazing people there. And they were really the first community I connected with. That was why I told you that little tangent.
Sure.
Is relevant. It is actually answering your question. It's not totally self-indulgent. And then from there, I got connected with a local community that's a community of a lot of internationals, a lot of remote workers. So mainly English speaking and other languages, of course, in my local area here in the Eastern Algarve called the Loft Community, which the initials stand for the names of the towns.
Okay.
And I started to get involved there. I started to attend events. I started to lead workshops. I became a loft champion, which is like a member of the inner circle. I met another group of a pole dance community here that's like 15 minutes away a couple months ago. I have friends here. I have friends.
Beautiful.
Some of them are international, some of them are local. And it just kind of came alive around me because I was following my heart. Because I was doing what I loved. My partner here, by the way, does not have community like that because he doesn't engage. This isn't a judgment, it's just how it works, right? So, I mean, that would be something I would tell people is just do what you love. If you love dance, if you love writing, if you love, there are communities of people, that's how you'll meet them. That's how you become a part of what's happening.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So a big difference between the United States and Portugal is definitely the cuisine. What is your favorite local cuisine in your new home at the moment?
So this is a complication too, because mostly I'm on a vegan diet, and a Portuguese diet is not very vegan, except maybe their oh God, well, I can't think of the name of that. There's a soup, one of their
Okay.
sopas, their sopas. They have a vegetable soup, but that's about it. Everything else is seafood, meat, and
Seafood.
potatoes. So I think my favorite local cuisine is not probably really Portuguese, honestly. I guess I'd have to say the soup. But other than that, I'm mostly cooking for myself, eating Indian or like vegan pizza.
So that's
There's
an
a
it.
good pizza place.
That's a good shout out for people in the audience in the community. If there are people who know of the vegan hotspots in Portugal, because there's got to be, right? There's got to be a subculture.
Lisbon has a lot. And actually, since I'm in a tourist area, there are vegan options on the menu, but the vast majority and traditional Portuguese in Faro, they have a fantastic vegan restaurant that does some Portuguese style vegan cuisine. It's
Yeah.
very good. But yeah, not the best location for vegans for sure.
Super funny. Super funny. All right. We're gonna close this
You see how
interview.
much I did not think about this, Amy?
Well, and I appreciate that as an angle for this story because we've done in the past year, I've done several expat stories that of what has taken people to new locations, and I do believe that you are the first who this story could be reduced for. You moved to Portugal for a guy, which I say that without judgment because I think that there are really in most cases when you talk to people about how they end up wherever they are, we move for jobs, we move for family, we move for relationships. And so I honor that you did that. And I think it's a success story that you've been able to make it work as get all the paperwork done, all the complicated stuff. And you did it based on just leaning into what you wanted to do at the time. All right. So share with us what you do professionally and how you want people to follow up with you after they hear this conversation.
Wonderful. I am a coach and a creative catalyst. I work with visionary entrepreneurs. These are people who have big ideas in their heads. There's probably something that they really want to do that they're not quite sure how to do or where to start. And I help them get those ideas out of their heads and into the world in a way that feels really fun. And kind of living as a role model that you can follow your heart, that you can follow what you know, and build a business that way and create a life that way where you come fully alive. And it doesn't come from hustle, doesn't have to. It doesn't come from compromising yourself, your values, being salesy. You can do it in a way that really feels like you. And the premise, not the premise, but like what I feel like I do is I literally get paid to be myself. I'm calling myself Steph Dragonheart now because I love dragons. I create what I love. I'm quirky. I write stories, I talk about business. Like I get to include all the things I love in my life and my business. And that's what I help people to do.
Very nice. All right. So you have a special offer for the audience, which is the Paid to Be You workshop that matches exactly what you were just talking about. Realign your business to create a life you love. Normally it's $33, but there's a link to get that for free in the show notes where you're listening, in the show description where you're watching on YouTube. And for people who subscribe to the Imperfect Adulting community, which everyone should subscribe, then it just appears in your email box and you can click on the link. That's the easiest way to get links. And so I recommend that everyone do it. All right. And your website is theawakenedbusiness.com.
Yes.
All right.
And
Very
by
cool.
this time, there will be stephdragonheart.com as well. So you can find me in both places.
Very cool. That sounds like a character from like a role-playing game, but I love it. I say mean that as a compliment. Okay.
It totally is.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So are you ready for the final fun questions?
Yes. I
Let's
love
do
fun
it. All right,
questions,
here we
please.
go. For your first, well, I don't want to oversell it. For your first beverage of the day, are you a person who drinks coffee, tea, hot water with lemon, or something else entirely?
Oh, hot water
Hot
without
water.
lemon, just hot water.
Just hot
That's
water.
very
Okay.
boring. That's boring. Oh
No, it just is. It just is. So there you
Well,
go.
thank you.
There you go. All right,
That's
so
very enlightened of you.
when. Thank you. Okay, so when you want to do something special for yourself, what might that look like? Is it going to be like a spa day, shopping, a walk in nature, dinner with friends, a sweet treat? What is something that you would do for yourself?
Well, my birthday is coming up, and I have bought myself two private pole dance lessons.
All right. I don't, that's not on my multiple choice list, but I'm going to add it in. So, but private. No, but it's, I mean, that's like a version. It's not a spa day, but a private lesson, like on something
Yes.
you enjoy. I get it. I totally get it.
Because
I
I don't do
absolutely.
any of those other things for myself. No, it's pole dance.
I am older than you, and this is like how
I don't
things are.
know about that,
The
Amy.
so but there was an earlier when I was in my 20s, pole dancing was like there were stores and classes and all of these things, and now it is back. I love that. Okay, so very cool. All right. I have a podcast, you have a podcast. Do you also listen to podcasts? And if you do, you have one that you want to suggest to the people in the audience who might be looking for a recommendation of something fun to listen to for themselves?
Something fun. Well, I'm going to tell you one that it's short. It's provocative.
Okay.
It's Caffeine for the Soul by Michael Neal. I don't always listen to it, but sometimes when I do, it's the kind of thing that really stays with me. So I don't know if it's exactly fun, but I find it very enjoyable.
Nope, that matches. The, just you know, people are looking for recommendations of what else, and so that's exactly what the question was. That's a perfect answer. That's it, Stephanie Benedetto. Thank you for being a wonderful guest today on the show. Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.